Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we're at the fourth chapter. While you're finding the place, can I say this? That out of all the chapters in this wonderful book, from Genesis chapter 1 right through to the end of the book of Revelation, I personally believe that this is the greatest chapter in the book. Oh, you may not agree with me, and you're quite at liberty to disagree. But I think this is the greatest chapter in the Bible. I'm sure that I can take this chapter and go for a whole year, for 52 weeks, on a new subject every night from the chapter. The doctrines and the truths and the wonderful things that are here really thrill me, and it is my chapter. We're at Philippians, and we're at chapter 4, and it begins with the word therefore, and there's a comma behind it. He just stops for a second. He's saying to these saints, these believers at Philippi, he's saying therefore. He's saying just because, that's what therefore means, just because of all that I have said in the previous three chapters about the Savior and about your position in the Savior, he says, therefore. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Isn't that a very lovely term? You know, he was really in love with the saints at Philippi. My joy and crown. That's what he called. In the week that's passed, I've just finished a book for Marshall, Morgan and Scott with a very long, long chapter on the Baptist Church at Lurgan. And I've called it My Joy and Crown. I think that would be true. And I do love you, you know. I may say things that disturb you, but I love you. I think I'm here to say the things I should say. And this is how Paul felt about them. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. That's the bit he wanted to get over to them. My dearly beloved, I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, these two difficult names, they are names of ladies, two ladies. Odias was a lady and Syntyche was a lady. And you know, they had little differences, these two ladies. I'm sure they had differences in Philippi, but they would never have differences in Lurgan, is that right? See Walter grinning with a sort of grin that tells me you're talking nonsense. All right. I'm sure you're right, Walter. And so he wants these ladies to be of the same mind in the Lord. And then he says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. There was somebody in the assembly who just loved to crush women. You always get an old fella about the assembly who would like to push the woman around, you know. You always get one somewhere. Sort of old type fella who should have been among the exclusives long ago, but he's still here. Yes. Well, Paul's talking to him. Says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. He's talking to them. Then he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. And remember, he's in a prison cell, an old, dark, damp prison cell in Rome.
and he's going to be beheaded one of these days, and yet he's saying, rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord, always!
Oh, I tell you, the doctrines that are here, you could take them all up one by one and they would do you for a year. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And the word moderation is a mighty Greek word. It is rendered by our English word moderation. But it's better rendered by a word I saw from Oswald Sanders. He says it should be rendered, let your easy to get on withness. Puts it all in hyphens. Let your easy to get on withness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, it's the little phrase I'm taking out this morning, the Lord is at hand. And I know that some of you are old enough to remember that the first day I came here, and that's just over 26 years ago, the first Sunday, the first message I preached was on this text. The Lord is at hand. Now, I've gone around the world and I've been at many conventions and I've heard good preachers and great preachers mishandling the text. I've heard a man not very long ago taking up the text and saying the Lord is at hand, and he began to talk about the Lord's coming again. Oh, I believe the Lord is coming again, and you know I believe the Lord is coming again. But I don't believe the text has anything to do with the Lord is coming again. It's nothing to do with it whatsoever. What Paul was trying to get over to the saints is best seen by an old translation done by Dr. Williams, who was an old Quaker. And it's a great translation. He translated these words, the Lord is at hand, like this. The Lord is at thine elbow. Now that gives you the meaning. He's just there, you know. Dr. Ironside translated it, the Lord is beside thee. Oh, that we could live in the consciousness of this, that the Lord is at thine elbow, that the Lord is beside thee. Dr. Schaefer translated it, the Lord is standing by. It's all the same thing. I like the quicker one. Lord is at thine elbow. Wish we could get this proper, you know. Makes life sort of different each day. Because when the storm howls and the wilderness grows thicker, you can lean on your beloved, you know. He's at your elbow. Francis Henry Light, the man who penned this immortal hymn, Abide with Me. You remember this, don't you? He was dying of TB. Oh, 100 years ago when there was no cure for TB. If you got TB then, well, that was it. You were going to die like cancer is now. And you know, at his last hours, when the flesh has gone from his bones, when he was just a sort of human skeleton, I remember when I was going to school, some of the boys taking TB and me going to see them, and there they were, just skeletons. And when Francis Henry Light was a skeleton, and he had only hours to go, he took a pen, he could hardly hold it, and he penned these words, Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, abide with me. And then he penned another verse that we don't know just as well as the first one. He penned this verse. With thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. This is the truth. This man found the truth. The Lord is at hand. He is at thine elbow. I'll tell you, David found this truth a long time before Henry Light. In one of the Psalms, David says, I have set the Lord before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. All that we could grasp this morning. The Lord. The wonderful Lord of Calvary. The Lord who rose triumphant from the grave. Our wonderful, wonderful Lord. He is at thine elbow. Now, I want you to get it like this for a moment or two. You see, I think that every chapter in the book has a key. And if you find the key, you can find the truths that's in the chapter very easily. The only way you'll ever find the key is just take the chapter and read it and read it and read it and read it. I would think that I can close the book now and read this chapter without missing one word. And my birthday is tomorrow. Don't be all sending cards now, please. Yes, I can still do that, and I'm so thankful about that. But it's not just memorizing that does things for you, you know. It's good to be able to do that. But if you go over it and over it and over it and over it again, you will find this. Something comes out like this. The Lord is at thine elbow. And it becomes the key for the chapter. Let me show you how to turn the key in the chapter for a moment. Supposing we go back to the first verse and talking to his brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. He says, so stand fast in the Lord. You see, he's trying to say to these saints, you know, the Lord is at thine elbow. Just to see your determination to stand fast for him. You see, you can take the word stand fast now and you've got a sermon. You see, you're to stand fast for certain things. We're to earnestly contend for the faith. And when we talk about earnestly contending for the faith is not the faith you believe with. The faith is the whole volume of fundamental truth. The virgin birth. The sinless perfection. The atoning death. The bodily resurrection. These are fundamentals. And the Lord expects you to stand fast for the fundamentals of the faith. But you're not only to stand fast for things because the Lord is at your elbow. You're to stand fast in the evil day. You know, I think we're in the evil day. Yes, a man said to me the other day, you know, I heard you praying against these Protestants that cut throats. This is terrible, you know, is it now? My dear friends, I'm totally, absolutely, horribly against it. Absolutely, with all my heart and soul. My goodness, do you just want me to condemn the Romans? And can these fellows cut throats? I don't know anything about that sort of Christianity. That's baloney to me. I think they got what they deserved. And if I had had my way, each one of them would have been on the end of a rope. And I'll tell you, if we'd only bring it back again, we would cut it short. I'm stating my things quite clearly now. I've never gone into the corner yet. I get sick with old fellas talking nonsense. My dear friends, we've got to take our stand in the evil day. Oh, you can easily dodge the issue, you know, and keep quiet and go mamby-pamby. I know that sort of religion. It gets you nowhere. No, we're not on for murdering anybody. Look at the second verse. You see, I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two ladies had had a difference. And you know, this difference had gone on for some time. And this little fox of a difference was spoiling the vine of testimony at Philippi, and Paul knew about it. And what he's saying to the two ladies, singling them out, he says, listen, Euodias, and listen, Syntyche, the Lord is at your elbow, you know, when the two of you pass each other in the aisle and you can't speak anymore. Are there anybody here just like that? For the Lord's sake, would you get it fixed up? That's the Lord at your elbow to see your reconciliation. That's what he was saying. He says, the Lord is at thine elbow to see your determination to stand fast in the Lord, to see your reconciliation where that reconciliation must be made. If you have to say you're sorry, get it off your chest. See what he said to this true yoke fellow? He said, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Here's a lovely little word, help. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Oh, there are old saints who somehow God brought up somewhere and they're against women. Tooth and nails, it seems. They would hardly let them pray. My dear friend, I think that we're a royal priesthood and it just doesn't go for the men. Oh no, the women are in this royal priesthood and they've got a right. And the first prayer meeting before the church, we find that the women were there. Look, let's start to help the woman. Look down the chapter. Do you see verse 10? But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me. See the word care. It's a nice word. We put it beside the word help. What he's saying to the saints is just this. You know, you should help the woman of God and you should care for the servants of God. And don't forget that. You need to care for the servant, not curse them. Nor kick them. You see, the Lord is standing. He sees you, you know. And all the tiny little snippets that you come out with against the servant of God, he sees you. He knows all about you. And you should kindly remember that he's at your elbow all the time. Yes, he's getting this across, and the key is turning, you know. He's saying, stand fast. The Lord is at your elbow to see your determination. He's saying to the two women, get together again. The Lord is at your elbow to see your reconciliation. And he's saying to these others, he's saying, you know, the Lord is at your elbow to see your cooperation. Help the woman and care for the servants of God. See this mighty phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. My, that's a wonderful phrase. When you think that Paul was a tiny little man, yes, I believe, a weak-looking little character. It does say that his speech was contemptible and his bodily presence was weak. Oh, he wasn't any film star of any kind. I believe that he was a tiny, thin, miserable, consumptive-looking little Jew. Yet this tiny little man is huddled up in this cell. It's an old, dark, damp Roman cell. The floor is mud. Oh, what a place to be in. And here he is. He knows he's going to be taken out and his head is going to be put on the block. And yet he's penning these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, you can rejoice in the Lord no matter what day it is, you know. You see, I know the days change from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday. Ah, but the Lord doesn't change. I know that the months change. Oh, December is different from July, I know. Ah, but the Lord doesn't change. I know the seasons change. Ah, the Lord is the same in the winter as he is in the summer. You can always rejoice in the Lord. You see, he never changes. Ah, oh, this is the thing that thrills me. You know, he meets me every morning. And he meets me with a smile. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is the same. His power is the same. His wisdom is the same. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. I can rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't change. He's at your elbow. And he's there to see your jubilation. You know, you can turn around. You know what C.T. Studd said? You know, in the Congo, in the forest, I can close my eyes and turn around and there he is. And I can touch him. And I can smile the smile of faith. Oh, there's something to think about. And C.T. Studd said, the smile of faith is the greatest thing in the Christian life. Try it every day. You see, John Newton knew this. He said, begone unbelief, my Savior is near, for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the storm. Ah, that's the bit. I want you to get that. And you see, if you can get this right, you're turning the key now. You can see that the Lord is at your elbow to see your determination, to see that reconciliation, to see your cooperation in helping the woman, to see your jubilation in himself, to see your moderation, your easy to get on with mess. You know, you'll need to lean hard on the Lord just to get this over. And then it goes on. It says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. You see, he's there just to hear your supplication. You know, you can turn and you can talk to the Lord. You know, when the old marshal was here, I can remember this. And I remember the first time I ever saw this old lady. And I can remember her sitting on the chair with her eyes closed until the chairman had made the opening remarks and handed the meeting over to her. And I think she must have been a good age then. I can remember her standing up and looking at the crowd and saying, let's talk to God. And I'll tell you, you really believed, yes, she did. You know, he's there. You know the way we go about prayer sometimes. I'm afraid it's pharisaical. We turn to him with our lips, but our heart's not in it at all. Oh, I know we condemn others for doing this, but we do it too. Oh, let us really talk to him, do you see? You see, he's at your elbow. You see what Paul went on to say? He said, finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Dr. Ironside said, it's so difficult to look at lovely things in the abstract, and pure things in the abstract, and honest things in the abstract. I need something concrete to look at. And then he said, I knew I was looking at Christ. Because Christ is truth personified. Christ is truth in all its justice. Christ is purity personified. Christ is loveliness personified. And he said, I was looking at Christ. You see this thing. You know, the Lord is at thine elbow. Just to see your meditation. Think on these things. Just to see what you're thinking on. See these old magazines where the naked women are. Do you sit in the corner and open this and fiddle through it? Because I'll tell you, the Lord is at your elbow. But if you get down to this book and you get into it and you're looking for Christ and you're looking for the loveliness and you're looking for the justness and you're looking for all the lovely things that belong to Him, then the Lord is pleased with your meditation, and your meditation of Him shall be sweet. But I noticed when I turned the key in this chapter that the Lord was not just at your elbow just to see your steadfastness, just to see two women coming together and making things right, just to see the smile on your face. The Lord was at your elbow to give you something. Ah, that's the bit that really matters. Because this is what it says. When you make your requests known unto Him, then the peace of God. Now that's beyond me to expound. Who could expound the peace of God? It's so big, it's so vast, it's so undisturbable, it's eternal. Hitler didn't disturb the peace of God. And the IRA do not disturb the peace of God. Now, this peace of God is something that's really wonderful. Now, it can fill your mind. It can fill your mind through Christ. You know, He's at your elbow, not just to watch you. He wants to fill your mind with peace. When Paul's talking about the problems of life, down the chapter he said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You see, He's at your elbow, not only to give you peace in your mind, but to give you power in your service. I want you to get this. Way at the end of the chapter, he said this, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ. All your need. See, I believe that. Watch, He's at your elbow to give you peace in your mind, to give you power in your service, to provide every need for the journey. But look, on this Sunday morning, just let us grasp the mighty truth. The Lord, the risen Lord, the glorified Lord, the Lord who is on the throne, He's at your elbow. That's the wonder of this. He can just come so close. And when I stand on this platform, and the old enemy would come in to crush my mind that I cannot find the word sometimes, then I can find His hand and I can squeeze it. He's there. Can you go down into the week with this? Oh, if you walk this week like this, and just know that right at your elbow is the risen Lord, and you just squeeze His hand, then peace and power and provision will be yours. And I'll tell you this. This is one of the greatest blessings in the Christian life, just to know He's there. May God bless you.